Well, ladies and gentlemen, praise God, the King has come, and praise God, he's coming back. But as we get fixed in our mind that the earth is our inheritance has never been a permanent place in heaven. It says, the meek shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. Look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115 and verse 15 says, "You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men." The earth has he given to the children of men. The earth is our inheritance. And that's why when Jesus Christ was born, when he came the first time, he did not come to bring a religion, but a kingdom, a government. He did not come to bring a ritual, but a relationship between God and man, a relationship between man and his creator. That's why God gave his children Holy Spirit. He cleaned up our vessel by having Jesus clean us clear through redemption. He washed us clean clear through from all the sins we had committed. And he made us worthy and acceptable to be a vessel that would receive once again that precious gift, Holy Spirit. See, Jesus didn't come to bring to man's sin and condemnation. He came to give us redemption and power for abundant living. Do we have it in the fullness that we're going to have it when he returns? No. But you know, it talks in Hebrews about tasting the heavenly gift, being partakers of the Holy Spirit, tasting the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. These are part of our inheritance that we can enjoy right now. I wish I knew what the legal term was. I think it's called a trust fund. Sometimes you're given an inheritance, and there's a point where you're going to get it in its fullness in the future, perhaps when you're 21, 26, whatever age they set to give you the complete fund. But in the meantime, you have access to have your bills paid, to have your education paid for, to have the things that you need to operate in life. And trust me, if God gives us a trust fund, giving us the things that we need to have now in life, he isn't scrimping on anything. And having said all that, having given us the more than abundant life which is available to us in the here and now, how much more is he even going to give us in the future? It's just an amazing, amazing concept. But you know, I've gotten where I really don't like songs like "When We All Get to Heaven, What a Day of Rejoicing That Will Be," or "In the Sweet By and By," or "Farther Along We'll Know All About It." Yes, there are some things coming in the future that are wonderful, but people, we cannot fixate on the future and miss the treasure, the inheritance, the power, the authority that's given to us in the here and now. You know, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I have heard that verse misconstrued to say, well, hope is all about the future. No, it isn't. This is the same guy that got by revelation, Paul, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the same man that explained how to manifest the Spirit of God in at least 9 different ways. This is the same man who spoke by revelation and said we have access to the mind of Christ. We have access to the wisdom of God. God's given gift ministries to the church. All this abundance of things he's given us right now to give us hope in this life. Hope for a better life now with him. That is by no means to minimize the hope of the future, which is going to be even more glorious because we won't be dealing with this imperfect, corruptible body. We now have the treasure in earthen vessels. But people, Paul never said don't have hope in this life. He just said, if I only have hope in this life, I'm miserable. Well, I agree. Even if I could raise people from the dead and speak in tongues and discern spirits and have word of knowledge, word of wisdom, but I knew that I could not have eternity with God, that would be small potatoes compared to getting the whole picture, the whole enchilada. But people, God is so wonderful and so magnificent and so awesome that what He gave us in the future, what He's going to give us when Christ comes back, it says, eye hasn't seen or ear heard or even has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That's why people can go and bump their gums all they want to about what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom and what's going to happen at the end of the millennial kingdom. And the truth of the matter is, people, you and I just frankly don't know very much about it. And what we do know, it says, hasn't seen or ear heard or entered into the heart of man. It is going to be so magnificent, so glorious, so phenomenal that we have not even been able to imagine what it's going to be like in the future. And so let's put it this way. If you and I even have a taste of those powers of the world to come via the nine manifestations, via prophecy, interpretation, tongues, discerning the spirits, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, raising people from the dead, opening deaf ears, opening blind eyes, you know, if that's just a taste of the powers of the world to come, that's pretty magnificent, isn't it? And yet, how many people do you know that have never been instructed to just taste and see that the Lord is good, N-O-W, now? Isn't it amazing that God can be good and gracious and all-powerful and giving to us in the here and now, and He can do even more in the future? I'm at a loss for words because the church, we have lived so far below par. I can guarantee you, and the only example I have of a kingdom, you know, is the Queen of England and her folks, and you know, what a dysfunctional household that is. But still, in all of their dysfunction, look at the rights and the privileges and the mindset that these people have. They carry themselves differently, and they're trained to do that from birth. I can guarantee you, the day that Prince William was born, there were tutors and teachers sitting in the next room waiting to start training him how to speak, elocution, etiquette, how to think about himself. Not necessarily so much to teach him the book learning, the three R's that he would learn in school, but to teach him, listen to me, to teach him the mindset of how to be a king's child, how to think like royalty. I can promise you, you will not get that from the 6 o'clock news, from the front page of the newspaper, from the negative things that your friends are spouting. Do you know how you and I get taught the mindset of royalty? Number one, we read the word and believe it. You know, probably the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I have heard more about the word surrender than I have almost anything else in the Bible. Just I keep hearing it over and over and over. And you say, well, Peg, you know, a king doesn't surrender. A king has dominion, power, and authority. That's the paradox, folks. That's the paradox. That's the thing that, according to the world, doesn't make a bit of sense. It's when we finally surrender, trying to do things our way, that we get brought into the way that the king would have us to do them. It's not until we give up trying to do it all our way that we see clearly how to do it His way. And so, how do we get trained? Where's our instruction? Well, our primary instruction is in the book, the Bible. And it's not in the Bible that you argue with and say, well, what is sin? And why did this happen? And why didn't God do this at this? It's not, you know what? You don't argue with the king. Do you know how freeing it is to just quit arguing with the Bible? And to come to the place that if the word is silent, I dare not speculate. You know, these people, there are people that have whole ministries on looking at the misery in the world and telling you why this is the end of times and calculating the day, the time, and the hour. Where's all that? In Matthew 24, something like that? Jesus said, you know what Jesus' barometer of the end times was? He said when the message of the kingdom was preached throughout the world, then the end would come. He even goes on to say, you know, before that, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. For these things have always been. These are just the beginning of the birth pangs. But people, how can the kingdom of God be preached around the world when churches aren't preaching the kingdom of God? They're preaching fire insurance to get people out of the fires of hell, but they're not preaching that we were born to be representatives of God. We were born into the royal family right here, right now, on this earth, and things for us are only going to get better. Of His kingdom there will be no end. Who do you know that's out there teaching that when you're born again, your spirit becomes brand new? It's completely new. You don't have to water it. You don't have to grow it. You don't have to fix it. It's completely, completely, complete. In Christ, you're a new creature. It's the spirit you're going to have with you throughout eternity. And between now and the time we fall asleep or Christ comes back, we can walk right now as the king's kids, having dominion over devil spirits, having dominion over disease, having dominion over poverty, having dominion over depression. We walk in that dominion now. And folks, when you have dominion over something, that makes you the king of it. You know, I've heard people say, I'm the king of my castle. You know, the guy that comes home and burps and puts his t-shirt on and sits in front of the TV and yells and screams at the kids all night, I'm king of my castle. You know why that ogre says that? Because he rules with a rod of iron. You know, his word is law. Nobody can talk back to him. The wife better just jump to it and the kids better not disobey. Well, people, that's not the kind of king and dominion we are. That's not the kind of kings we are. That's not the kind of dominion we have. We have dominion and power, authority over poverty, sickness, depression, disease, all these negative things that came by the adversary, but we do it with humility and meekness and in the spirit of love and service to our fellow man. See, this just makes your mind screech because it does not make sense. This is not the way we are used to seeing people wield power in the world. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why God gave us Holy Spirit, to teach us and to bring all things to remembrance and to convict us when we sin and to guide us back into the right way, that we would have this counselor, this mindset, this teacher with us, walking with us through life, being closer than our very breath to help us make the right decisions day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Because in the Old Testament it was with them, but since Christ came it is in us. I'll get more into that in another teaching. Christ in you was not available before the day of Pentecost. Something wonderful became available to mankind on the day of Pentecost, something that had been lost, something that needed to be reconnected, something that needed to be reconciled, something that needed to be redeemed, something that needed to be renewed. All that Adam lost was given back to mankind on the day of Pentecost and more that we will receive in the future. But right now what we have is almost beyond words. Look at Luke. Chapter 22, please. you know, Prince William or Prince Harry, they can go to Africa or somewhere and they can build huts, you know, for the underprivileged, which is great that they're doing charity work. But folks, they know when they go home. They can have a Jaguar if they want it. They can redecorate their room if they want to. They have health coverage. They can give wonderful gifts to their friends. They can give thousands and millions to charity if they want to. See, they're not tricked by serving that they don't have the abundance that's in their name. See, we're servants, but we have an abundance given to us through the name of Jesus Christ, with whom we are joint heirs. We're going to look at that one in a second, but look at Luke 22 right now. I'm going to put my finger in Romans 8 so I don't forget to go there. Look at Luke 22. I believe, folks, when you were born and when I was born, that God rejoiced as much as the day Christ was born. I really do. I really do. I believe God was so thrilled. It says He knew you before you were in your mother's womb. Even when you were shaping in the dark places, God knew about you and had a purpose, a goal, a dream for your life, something unique to your talents and abilities that only you can do for Him in bringing His will to pass on this earth. And that's why Jesus said in Luke 22, He said in verse 29, Jesus saying to His disciples, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, man, oh man, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Folks, God is no respecter of persons. He appointed to us a kingdom as He appointed to Jesus, so that one day in the future, we can sit and eat and drink at Jesus' table when He returns to earth. I tell you, I take a lot of long pauses when I'm sharing this stuff because this blows your mind. You know, I know one of the popular things to do in achieving things in life is make something called a believing board, where you write down goals and tear out pictures of things you would like to see come to pass in your life, and you put them on this board and you visualize it. I don't have any problem with that. If you want to do it, great, go for it. But people, I'm telling you, if you want to see the masterpiece of your life come to pass, spend time speaking in tongues, spend time in the Word, visualizing yourself born into the royal household of God, born to sit with Jesus at His table in the future, but born to reign with Him on earth, you know, Christ in you now, having a taste of the kingdom, having a taste of the powers of the world to come. Folks, if you would focus on your place, your proper place in the kingdom, your proper place in the government that was instituted by God the King, then you would have a greater vision for your life by accident than you could ever have on purpose, trying to consume it upon your selfish desires. And the Holy Spirit giving you, helping you have that vision, helping you have those desires in your heart, you would be absolutely convinced that God would be there to bring it to pass. You would no longer feel like you were alone trying to achieve these dreams and goals and pictures. You would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is God's vision with you for your life, and therefore you could count on and have confidence that He is your fellow laborer in achieving it. I read something the other day that really blessed me. It said, just think. That would be a revelation for most people. You know, most people only think that they think. I talk to some of my friends and they're still thinking the exact same thoughts they thought 25, 30, 40 years ago. They haven't had a new or original or enlightening thought most of their adult life. People, when you walk with God, you have new and fresh and exciting thoughts. Not that you come up with something crazy that no one's ever heard, but you begin to see the depth of life. You begin to see the depth of the beauty of why you're here. The mind of Christ can teach you, can guide you, can lead you into things that are just so wonderful, so magnificent. Well, anyway, just think. You're here, not by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing that His grace can't give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time in history to fulfill His special purpose for this generation. Do you know how much you would change if you just believed that? That you're not an accident waiting to happen? That you are in fact the King's kid? That you are born to the purple? That you were born into the kingdom of God when you accepted Jesus Christ and you were born again? And that God in His wonderful foreknowledge knew when and where and how you would be born, knew the talents that you would have, and therefore He has a purpose, He has a message, He has a thing for you to do in His kingdom on this earth. See, we're in the world, but not of the world anymore, because our passport is stamped in heaven. We just come and go because this is now the territory in which we represent our King who lives in heaven. And so as an ambassador, and as a steward, and as one who has domain for that King, we come here to earth, and guess what? Every place that we step on this earth is protected under that passport by the army and the money and the power and the resources of our Father in heaven, who is leaving us here on this earth as His representative. But because Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, it was the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, making itself manifest on the earth by the Spirit of God working in men and women, we are literally seated at the right hand of God in the throne room with Jesus Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. He made us sit in the heavenly places. He stamped our passport. And you know what, folks? When we come down here, we have diplomatic immunity, which means there's not a devil spirit, there's not a human being, there's no one that has the power to touch our life and hurt us, because we're diplomats from heaven. We have the Spirit of God Almighty, sons of God, Christ in you, the Spirit of the God from heaven residing in our physical body. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. And I reckon the suffering of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Ladies and gentlemen, joint heirs with Christ. You know, later in that chapter it says, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded, I'm persuaded, I'm persuaded. That He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all is with Him freely going to give us how many things? All things. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The manifestation of the Spirit, nine manifestations. The wisdom of God, the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the things that we are currently have complete and total access to. Never denied, not once. Never going to come to the throne of heaven and say insufficient funds. Never, never, never. And therefore, right now, we have, you and I, as sons of God, have dominion on this earth. If you didn't have dominion on this earth, how could you tell a sickness to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ and it has to leave? How could you stop a storm that was going to wreck your house in the name of Jesus Christ if you didn't have dominion on this earth? Are you getting the picture? The mindset, this is the mindset we need to start the new year. Man, if you want to make a New Year's resolution, help it be born to the purple. Help it be... Ask the Lord to help you understand that you are part of the royal household of God and that you have been given access to the kingdom now, right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now. Something even greater that we haven't imagined or thought or dreamed or even come into our imagination is waiting for us in the future. But people, what we've got right now is pretty wonderfully magnificent. What we have right now is pretty wonderfully magnificent if we don't go back to religion, if we don't get talked out of it by tradition, if we don't let the lies and deception of the adversary talk us out of it, because nobody wants to talk you out of your righteous inheritance more than Satan. Look at Colossians chapter 1. You lack nothing. No good thing will he withhold from us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It says he created us for his pleasure. And it says in another place, it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Walking in your kingdom rights. Walking in your governmental rights. Remember that verse in Isaiah chapter 9? The government shall be upon his, Jesus Christ's, shoulders. God laid the keys on Jesus' shoulder and Jesus laid the keys on Peter's, a man's, shoulders and said, here are the keys to the kingdom. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Man, oh man, oh man. See, these verses should just burst in our mind now. They should just burst like a brand new flavor. This word should just start coming alive. It should just start jumping off the page, and we should say, Father, teach me to walk in my inheritance. Teach me to do your will, O God. I love that when Jesus says, to do thy will, O God. Lo, I've come in the volume of the book. To do thy will, O God. People, that's the white flag. That's how we're supposed to live. If we would live every day waking up with allegiance to our King, with allegiance to our King, God, and His Son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, singing praises, singing the songs to Jesus, recognizing who we are, putting up the white flag for that day saying, lo, I've come to do thy will. What do you want me to do today, God? And the operative word there is do. Not sit and meditate, not dream, not think. Get off your fanny and do. Do it. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So you can try to pick that verse apart and say, what does he mean by that? Or you can just say, hey, God wants me to be fruitful in every good work. You know, you can argue with the president because we're in a republic, a democracy, so to speak. You can argue with the president. You can argue with the senator. You can argue with the governor. But guess what? You do not argue with the king. The king's word is his law. And when you walk in alignment with that law, good things happen if it's a good king. And of course, God is the best king, and Jesus is the greatest, most merciful King of Kings. And he wants us to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. which has made us meet or able. God has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When? N-O-W. We have an inheritance in the future, but people, we have a huge inheritance now. Verse 13. Who hath? H-A-T-H. Is hath future? No. Is hath present? It affects the present, but hath is past tense. Who hath delivered us from the power, the zousia, the exercised power of darkness? That's what we've been delivered from. And has translated. But the Greek text doesn't say that. It says, given us citizenship. Given us citizenship in the kingdom of His dear Son. Ladies and gentlemen, could God make it any plainer? You are a citizen in the kingdom of His dear Son now. You may have a physical passport that says you're a United States citizen, but you have a citizenship that supersedes that, a citizen in the kingdom of His dear Son, and boom, it's been stamped by Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, who's the image of the now the territory in which we represent our King who lives in heaven. And so as an ambassador and as a steward and as one who has domain for that King, we come here to earth, and guess what? Every place that we step on this earth is protected under that passport by the army and the money and the power and the resources of our Father in heaven, who is leaving us here on this earth as His representative. But because Jesus' kingdom was not of this world, it was the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, making itself manifest on the earth by the Spirit of God working in men and women. We are literally seated at the right hand of God in the throne room with Jesus Christ, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. He made us sit in the heavenly places. He stamped our passport. And you know what, folks? When we come down here, we have diplomatic immunity, which means there's not a devil spirit, there's not a human being, there's no one that has the power to touch our life and hurt us, because we're diplomats from heaven. We have the Spirit of God Almighty, sons of God, Christ in you, the Spirit of the God from heaven residing in our physical body. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. And I reckon the suffering of this present time, they're not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Ladies and gentlemen, joint heirs with Christ. You know, later in that chapter it says, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded, I'm persuaded, I'm persuaded. That He that spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all is with Him freely going to give us how many things? All things. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The manifestation of the Spirit, nine manifestations. The wisdom of God, the power of God. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the things that we are currently have complete and total access to. Never denied, not once. Never going to come to the throne of heaven and say insufficient funds. Never, never, never. And therefore, right now, we have, you and I, as sons of God, have dominion on this earth. If you didn't have dominion on this earth, how could you tell a sickness to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ and it has to leave? How could you stop a storm that was going to wreck your house in the name of Jesus Christ if you didn't have dominion on this earth? Are you getting the picture? The mindset, this is the mindset we need to start the new year. Man, if you want to make a New Year's resolution, help it be born to the purple. Help it be, ask the Lord to help you understand that you are part of the royal household of God and that you have been given access to the kingdom now, right here, right now, right here, right now, right here, right now. Something even greater that we haven't imagined or thought or dreamed or even come into our imagination is waiting for us in the future. But people, what we've got right now is pretty wonderfully magnificent. What we have right now is pretty wonderfully magnificent if we don't go back to religion, if we don't get talked out of it by tradition, if we don't let the lies and deception of the adversary talk us out of it, because nobody wants to talk you out of your righteous inheritance more than Satan. Look at Colossians chapter 1. You lack nothing. No good thing will he withhold from us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It says he created us for his pleasure. And it says in another place, it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Walking in your kingdom rights. Walking in your governmental rights. Remember that verse in Isaiah chapter 9? The government shall be upon his, Jesus Christ's, shoulders. God laid the keys on Jesus' shoulder and Jesus laid the keys on Peter's, a man's, shoulders and said, here are the keys to the kingdom. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Man, oh man, oh man. See, these verses should just burst in our mind now. They should just burst like a brand new flavor. This word should just start coming alive. It should just start jumping off the page and we should say, Father, teach me to walk in my inheritance. Teach me to do your will, O God. I love that when Jesus says, to do thy will, O God. Lo, I've come in the volume of the book. To do thy will, O God. People, that's the white flag. That's how we're supposed to live. If we would live every day waking up with allegiance to our King, with allegiance to our King God and his Son Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, singing praises, singing the songs to Jesus, recognizing who we are, putting up the white flag for that day saying, lo, I've come to do thy will. What do you want me to do today, God? And the operative word there is do. Not sit and meditate, not dream, not think. Get off your fanny and do. Do it. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. So you can try to pick that verse apart and say, what does he mean by that? Or you can just say, hey, God wants me to be fruitful in every good work. You know, you can argue with the president because we're in a republic, a democracy, so to speak. You can argue with the president. You can argue with the senator. You can argue with the governor. But guess what? You do not argue with the king. The king's word is his law. And when you walk in alignment with that law, good things happen if it's a good king. And of course, God is the best king, and Jesus is the greatest, most merciful King of Kings. And he wants us to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or able. God has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. When? N-O-W. We have an inheritance in the future, but people, we have a huge inheritance now. Verse 13. Who hath? H-A-T-H. Is hath future? No. Is hath present? It affects the present, but hath is past tense. Who hath delivered us from the power, the zousia, the exercised power of darkness? That's what we've been delivered from. And has translated, but the Greek text doesn't say that. It says, given us citizenship. Given us citizenship in the kingdom of His dear Son. Ladies and gentlemen, could God make it any plainer? You are a citizen in the kingdom of His dear Son now. You may have a physical passport that says you're a United States citizen, but you have a citizenship that supersedes that, a citizen in the kingdom of His dear Son, and boom, it's been stamped by Jesus Christ. It says in verse 15, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You know Adam was the image of God. God made Adam in His image. Now Adam lost Holy Spirit, and so that became corrupted. It devolved. And man became born under the kingdom of the power of darkness from the time of Adam. But when Jesus Christ came, He made available a new citizenship. Not a religion, but a government. Not a religion, but a kingdom. Not rituals, but a new relationship between the Creator and His children. The Creator and His children. Man. Like I said, Revelation 1:6 says, Jesus has made us kings and priests unto God His Father. We're going to see that in the fullness in the future. But are you getting the idea? We have dominion over so much right now. It's just almost unbelievable. That's why it's called the gospel. It's called the almost too good to be true. The good news, the gospel. And what was talked about over 100 times in the four gospels. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said He was ushering it in because the King has come to earth. Man, man, oh man, oh man. Well, look at 1 John, please. 1 John. You know, this is one of those verses that you just want to tattoo on the inside of your eyelids. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them what? All the negative spirits, all the negative people, all the antichrist people of this world. You have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Folks, if you've got something in you greater than that which is in the world, then you have dominion over that. Kingdom. The reign of a king over a dominion. You know, I used to look at myself as a Holy Spirit junior, an offspring of the Holy Spirit who is God. Why? Because God reproduces Himself in us. We reflect who God is back to this earth. And we just have to get out of this heaven mentality. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're on the earth now, and guess what? We're coming back to the earth with even more power and more ability than we have now. But that is not to negate or diminish one whit the power and dominion and authority that is ours to exercise right now. Right now. Go back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. The King Jehovah sent his king, his son Jesus, to earth to bring other joint heirs into relationship with their Father, the King of all creation. Man can fight against this plan till he's blue in the face, and all he's going to do is end up turning blue. But the reality is, people, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was set up to give those who would choose to become sons of God power and dominion and authority in this world and in that which is to come. We are the King's kids right now, and we are meant to reign in life by Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, is there any doubt in your mind that death is powerful? That death right now has dominion in the world, the earth, in which we live? No. Why? We see people dying every day. We hear about people dying every day. The older you get, the more people die. You know, the cliche in life is the two things certain about life are death and taxes. So death, having a very powerful role, having a very dominant role, is a no-brainer. That's established. It's all over the place. But look at this. As dominant as that thing is, look at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, look at the next two words, much more powerful, much more dominant, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The King has come. You have accepted him. Are you reigning? That's the question now. You've already got your fire insurance, but are you living in the kingdom? Are you living in a kingdom mentality? Or have you been talked out of it by people, well-meaning, loving people, saying, oh no, this is all reserved for sometime in the sweet by and by, sometime in the future, sometime down the road. No, 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 1,000 times no. As dominant and as much dominion as we have seen with our eyes and heard with our ears that death is dominant in this world in which we live, much more by the abundance of grace and the gift, you give all royalty gifts, the gift of righteousness, we shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, right now, as he is, so are we in this world. It says in Ephesians 2:6 that he raised us up together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. Colossians 1:27 says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's why I can tell you that with all boldness that Jesus Christ did not come to bring a religion. He came to bring a God.